This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to the July edition of First Friday Focus on the Environment. On the first Friday of each month, we take time to discuss an environmental topic of statewide concern, and today that concern is Line 5. That Enbridge pipeline moves 23 million gallons of oil and natural gas liquids per day. It goes east through the Upper Peninsula, splitting into twin underwater pipelines through the Straits of Mackinac before returning to a single transmission pipeline through the Lower Peninsula, running south to Sarnia, Ontario. Enbridge has put forth two plans to create an alternative to the existing pipelines. A $150 million plan would have the energy company pile several feet of rocks on top of the existing pipelines. A $300 to $500 million plan would have it dig deep tunnels to house those pipelines with more layers of protective coverings. That project would take 6 years to complete. Environmentalists remain unhappy, insisting the Straits and the Great Lakes would remain at significant environmental and economic risk. The company says it would reduce spill potential in the Straits to virtually zero. Our partner in First Friday is Lisa Wozniak, and Lisa is the Executive Director of the League of Conservation Voters. And welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you, David. Always a pleasure to be here.
And our guest today.
Yes, our guest today is Liz Kirkwood. Liz is the Executive Director of For the Love of Water, or FLO, whose mission is to safeguard the Great Lakes. And they do this by advancing public trust solutions and cutting-edge policy work. Liz and her team have been a leading force in shaping what's called the Oil and Water Don't Mix campaign. And this is a campaign, as it would sound, to address the 65-year-old Enbridge Line 5 pipeline.
Well, welcome, Liz. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
As we talk about Line 5 and potential solutions as put forth by Enbridge, what are your ecological concerns of building a tunneled pipeline through the Great Lakes?
Well, I think before we have a conversation about a tunnel, I think the key issue is whether or not we even need this infrastructure in the first place. We have really lost sight of, with the conversation about the tunnel, is that 3 years ago, from an important report commissioned by the state of Michigan, and it was the Michigan Petroleum Pipeline Task Force issued a report with four recommendations for Line 5. And the two critical ones were to create an independent analysis of risk and an independent analysis of alternatives. The reason that we're now having this conversation about a tunnel is because of a side agreement between the governor and Enbridge back in November of 2017. Where Enbridge has now conducted a tunnel analysis and examined three options and said there's feasibility for both a tunnel and open cut secondary containment, but not the horizontal directional drilling.
And as we have these discussions, and it is Enbridge putting these forward because of that agreement with the governor, Lisa Wozniak, do you think that the call for full decommission of Line 5 has any validity left in the conversation?
Absolutely. To Liz's point, I mean, we were supposed to be looking at both the risk and the alternatives. And to date, a full risk analysis has not, in my mind, been fully examined. There's a September deadline at which point we are supposed to be looking at the risk analysis here. Many independent organizations have done risk analyses, and we know that no pipelines, frankly, should be running through the Straits of Mackinac or anywhere in the Great Lakes. Given the fragility and the importance of our Great Lakes, and given that what studies have been done show that the risk of actually having this pipeline leak in any way, shape, or form could have extraordinarily detrimental impacts on our Great Lakes and the 15 million people who depend upon the lakes for their drinking water.
And Liz Kirkwood, I come back to the original question. As Enbridge has put it forth, by following its plan of tunneling, the risk of spill or contamination of the Great Lakes in the Straits is virtually zero. Do you take that the company at its word?
Well, let's break that down for a moment. So the first issue is that, you know, even if it was engineeringly possible to build a tunnel, all sorts of legal hurdles to build a tunnel. And so, you know, even from Enbridge's conservative estimates, it could take, you know, 5 years to complete a tunnel. That fails to address the current imminent threat of a risk of a catastrophic oil spill. as many folks know here in Michigan, we had the unthinkable happen in April. An anchor that was 12,000 pounds from a barge was released and dragged, snapped these two electrical cables, rupturing dielectrical fluid over 600 gallons, and actually struck line five in three locations and dented it. And we're just incredibly lucky that we didn't have a rupture. So the idea that it eliminates the risk to zero in 7 years doesn't, fundamentally fails to protect the Great Lakes right now.
89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment continues. Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and our content partner for this monthly feature. Our guest today is Liz Kirkwood. Liz is Executive Director of FLO, which stands for Love of Water. Now, when we're looking at solutions, if not the offerings from Enbridge, then what? Now, you've called for full decommission, Lisa Wozniak. Liz Kirkwood, if you could provide the alternative, should it be routed around the Straits of Mackinac, or should the pipelines just be shut down and the flow of oil to Sarnia, Ontario cut off?
FLO has examined this issue for over 4 years now, and back in December of 2015, we put together a technical and legal piece analyzing the alternatives. One of the most feasible and prudent alternatives that we dug into was examining existing pipeline infrastructure that is around the Great Lakes. Remember, in 2010, following Enbridge's Line 6B disaster causing one of the largest inland oil spills in U.S. history,
nearly a million gallons, right? So.
Over a million gallons, that's right, and it cost $1.2 billion to clean up because this is the heavy tar sands. Enbridge then doubled the capacity of its pipeline from Griffith, Illinois to Stockbridge, Michigan. And so the Michigan Public Utility Commission, the MPUC, didn't really wager and think about, the capacity in Line 5 and how that could have been shifted to Line 6B. There are, and that's the kind of systems global thinking that has to be very carefully understood in problem solving.
In problem solving, what does that look like in your estimation?
Well, instead of delaying the process for over 4 years now, what Michigan has really failed to do is to look at how what the backup plan is right now for Upper Peninsula residents for propane. About 18% of the UP derives propane from Line 5 from Rapid River.
And only 18%.
Right. And, that's a solvable problem. There's expansion of natural gas pipelines. There are other modalities of transport to bring propane to those residents. Similarly, the state of Michigan should have really been looking into how do you transport the oil, the 14,000 barrels of oil that go daily from northern and lower Michigan to the refineries in Detroit and Toledo. Why aren't we asking those? Why aren't we solving those questions? We've got a whole Michigan Agency for Energy that would have really focused and looked at the viability of the alternatives. Instead, we have a 1,000-page report from Dynamic Risk. They just jettisoned the option of looking at existing pipeline infrastructure because they said, "Oh, 23 million gallons a day. We can't put it through existing pipelines. So there, we can't look at it." That's not the analysis. Michigan has to look at Michigan's needs. And Line 5 never, ever, ever granted Enbridge in perpetuity the ability to transport 23 million gallons a day. In fact, the original 1953 easement, which allowed Enbridge to occupy the state's privately owned property, right? This is our public trust bottomlands and waters, up to only 300,000 barrels per day. So now we're up to 540,000 barrels per day. How did we get there? Has the public really been informed? Have we wade into it? And I would submit no.
Lisa Wozniak, I think we've comprehensively covered the questions that are not being discussed adequately and perhaps the process and procedures that have not taken place. So I want to come back to the question of what does remediation look like of the Line 5 problem?
Well, it's certainly not piling rocks on top of it. I mean, now that Liz has very eloquently outlined how, you know, an enormous anchor struck Line 5. And immediately after that, what Liz didn't say is that we experienced a huge storm in the Straits. And it took not Enbridge proactively moving to shut down Line 5 during 12-foot swells in the Straits.
Senator Peters had to call in and shut that
down.
That's
exactly right. So we're basically trusting a company who has a vested interest in using Michigan as a pass-through, for the most part, to take their Canadian crude oil from one point to another. And we, the state of Michigan and the Great Lakes, have put ourselves in a position where we literally are a pass-through for a Canadian company. And I ask the state of Michigan, and to Liz's point about never intending to pass that much oil through the lines, and never intending to have this pipeline actually exist past its 50-year lifespan. We're now at year 65. So we do have alternatives that the Canadian company could use. They have their own pipelines that they could actually move this oil through. And frankly, there are alternatives to delivering the propane to the residents of the UP. And I think there's far too much at risk. We know the threats to our Great Lakes are many. This is a huge one.
Well, let me ask this as our time together winds down. Beyond the environmental considerations when it comes to Line 5, there are political considerations. And Liz Kirkwood, do you think the outcome of the upcoming elections will have a bearing on what is ultimately agreed upon as a course of action?
I do. I think this election is enormously important. Line 5 is one of the leading issues. Every candidate has been asked about it. The governor is trying to, cut a deal with Enbridge in advance. And, you know, there are all sorts of questions about the legality of this agreement because, you know, this governor cannot unilaterally commit the state of Michigan to issuing environmental permits without looking at the harm, looking at the feasible and prudent alternatives, and without engaging meaningful opportunity for the public to review what's at stake.
So what I hear in that, Lisa Wozniak, is potential lawsuits moving down the line.
Undoubtedly, there'll be lawsuits on either side of this, depending on what the decisions are. I find it interesting that the timeline for this that the governor has put in place is September of an election year, to Liz's point, to have a conversation with Enbridge about next steps. That seems to me very interesting. I think the public should ask questions about the timing. And I think I would urge every single person who intends to vote in November to ask every candidate, whether it's a candidate for governor or anywhere else up and down the ballot, what they intend to do using their voice to address this issue.
And Liz Kirkwood, what will you be doing between now and then?
Well, we are in the process also. There have been two current legal challenges related to the anchor permits that Enbridge is seeking. We will be attending the hearing next week on July 11th for Enbridge's request for 48 new anchor permits that would bring the pipeline to be braced with over 198 brackets onto the bottomlands. This is a Band-Aid solution to a very, very serious problem that would have enormous catastrophic implications for the Great Lakes.
Well, we're years into the conversation, and it looks like we'll have years more to come. Liz Kirkwood, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Liz Kirkwood is Executive Director of Flow for Love of Water. And Lisa Wozniak, we'll see you for the first Friday in August.
As always, I look forward to it, David.
Once again, I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.